And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast, U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This show, I mean to say, y'all, it goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! Yeah. And then there's big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I'm telling you, that's just the radio. Then there's all of y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web, some of you even more so because we had problems with our Huntsville station there for a few minutes. Live streaming the show is always your option. Live streaming on places like X, Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. Always remember that, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact, listen. The bottom line is wherever you pick up this show, the reason why I kind of do that diatribe right there about all the places where people watch or listen to the show is because I want you to know that we see you there, we know you're there, we appreciate the fact that you do. It blesses us. You're the reason why we do what we do. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I am going to jump into another dipper right now. By the way, we are understanding that our Huntsville station is back on track. They had a technical glitch that sort of flipped the script and made them into a pop station for a few minutes. If you are listening in Huntsville, you might want to text the show and confirm for us that we are good to go. But that's what we understand. So thank you very much. I'm going to do something that we have to do periodically. It's very easy for me to sit here and just talk about things that are happening out there somewhere else. Washington, D.C., the Trump administration, all things good. You know, it's just like, it's important to know those things. But sometimes you got to pay attention to what's happening right here among you. That's going to be so important that you know what's happening in your backyard. And so every once in a while I gather up stories and I realize I've got enough stuff there that I've got to do what I call cooking up a batch of home fries. Ah, yeah. Cook them up, baby. I got to tell you about some things that are happening in and around and amongst us. So one of the things that's going on right now is the U.S. Senate race. Listen, the U.S. Senate race in Alabama, and they're about to have it in Tennessee, too, because Marsha Blackburn has said that she is going to run for governor, just like Tommy Tuberville is running for governor. So that's two conservative senators who are stepping away from their U.S. Senate roles to go very likely be the next governors of their respective states, Tennessee and Alabama. But right now, the race we have in Alabama is really heating up. So we got a new poll out. Yesterday, if you were listening to the show, you heard us have, U.S. Representative Barry Moore on the air. Barry Moore serves in Congress, very conservative. He came on to announce yesterday, he announced his run for the U.S. Senate seat being vacated by Tuberville. We already have Attorney General Steve Marshall, who will be on the show with us tomorrow. We have already had Jared Hudson, the former Navy SEAL, who is also in that race. Y'all, we got a deep bench on that race. It's amazing. But a recent poll right now shows Attorney General Steve Marshall allegedly in the lead to be Alabama's next U.S. Senator. He's got the name ID. He certainly, among all of them, has been running statewide offices or races, so he knows his way around. He's well liked. The poll was commissioned by the Business Council of Alabama, the Montgomery-based research firm Signal, which, by the way, Signal I've worked with before. And Signal, it's one of their guys, John Rogers, who comes on this show periodically to talk about polling. But Signal did the poll, and when they asked who they would vote today in the Senate race, 24% said Marshall, 12.9% said Bruce Pearl, who's not even in the race. I mean,
I don't mean to interject, but I think that right there speaks wonders of, like, if he were to actually do it, how much of a spoiler he would have been.
Well, the funny thing is they polled him. It wasn't like that was a spontaneous eruption of Bruce Pearl names. That was them saying, would you vote for Bruce Pearl? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's nuts.
So he was second. 8.8% said Barry Moore, who just got in the race. The poll was done before he got in. 3% said Jared Hudson. All right, so I'm not sure what the margin of error is on this poll. Margin of error means it would be like a plus or minus 3. But the margin of error, I don't know what the crosstabs were. When you're looking at polling, there's different things. You look at the margin of error because you can be within the margin of error, which means it's anybody's guess. You can also look at what's called the crosstabs, which is the way the questions broke out. Like if you break it down by racial demographics or break it down by gender or break it down by age gap, you can find all kinds of ways to interpret that might be even more meaningful. But right now, just on its face, 24% said Marshall. 12.9% said Bruce Pearl, who's I don't think is going to run. 8.8% said Barry Moore. And 3% said Jared Hudson. Now, 51% were undecided.
That's what I was going to add, too. Yeah. And I think it went up to 57 or something when Bruce Pearl was removed.
You take Bruce Pearl out, it's 57.5%. So what that basically means is it's still anybody's game, but Marshall right now has the early lead. That also tells me that were the race to happen today, we might have a runoff. That's the interesting dynamic. When you have multiple names in a race, you have to get to 50-plus percent. So 50 and half, okay. But if you get 49, it's a runoff because somebody else got a lion's share. So we're going to see. But right now, Bruce Pearl is up. Here's another story that just, listen, y'all, this is a tragic story. And it boggles my mind. You may have heard, and I'm not kidding when I say it's tragic. A little three-year-old boy, Katerius, his nickname was KJ, Katerius Starks Jr., was in DHR custody. He had been taken out of his house for whatever reason. I'm sure there was a heartbreaking story about the home conditions, and DHR had to remove him from the house. He's in DHR custody. And a DHR worker left him in a car for more than 5 hours on a hot summer day just about a week or two ago. And a little Katerius Starks died. The social worker for DHR, in my opinion, we have never really seen what I call acceptance of responsibility for this. Maybe I get it. Maybe there's still more to be found. But what we're learning right now is that the Alabama DHR staffer actually was transporting the little guy for a supervised visit with his father in Bessemer. The visit ended around 11:30. The staffer then allegedly went and ran personal errands with the child still in the car, which, okay, problem number one, that's not your role. You have somebody else's child in your care. You don't go run personal errands on the taxpayer's dime. And that child got left in the car. They returned home around 12:30 and went inside, leaving the windows up and the engine off. Temperatures were at 95 degrees or higher. The heat index was over 109, and the child expired in the vehicle. The DHR employee, his last name Stanford. Keela Stanford. Keela Stanford has been arrested and accused of one count of leaving a child or incapacitated person unattended in a motor vehicle resulting in serious physical injury. All right. The maddening part of this is the governor's office and DHR have really not spoken out. They have really not, in my opinion, owned this. And I understand that there's an open investigation. But there does not appear to be near enough remorse from people who are in charge. And there is no denying that this little toddler was in DHR custody when that happened. That's a sad story.
I'll do another one. Where is Black Lives Matter on this one? Is it only, certain cases? Oh, only this one. Only this one. Or is it, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah. Interesting they select the stuff to get upset about.
You know, what's also crazy is that person, Keela Stanford, working for DHR, was supposed to be taking this child to visit a family that didn't care for him well enough or had problems in the house that made it unsafe for the child and did a worse job than the parents who can't have custody of their child. It's unreal. It's sad. I'm saying justice for little guy, please. Another piece that's coming out just last night, 1819 News has this piece, Dateline today, actually. President Donald Trump has announced his intent to name three U.S. District Judge nominees to the Middle and Northern Districts of Alabama. Okay, so this is a big deal. This is actually a huge deal. Because look around at what we're seeing around the nation as federal district court judges have been slapping injunctions on Trump, impeding his progress. Who sits on the bench is a big, huge deal. And who sits on the bench on the federal side is an appointment by the president with a confirmation by the Senate. And once they're appointed for on the federal district court bench, they're appointed for what's known as life or good cause, meaning they can stay there until they die or until they retire or until they're removed for a good cause, meaning they're going to be there a long time. They're not running for office. Once they're confirmed, they're in, man. So you got to hope you find the right ones. Well, what I know of these people is nothing but good. Trump nominated Eben LaCour, Solicitor General for Alabama. He's been working in the Attorney General's office now for a number of years. He's been the one who argues cases on behalf of the state of Alabama. He's now going to be being nominated for confirmation as a U.S. District Judge for the Northern District. That's North Alabama where we are. Harold Moody, a private attorney in Huntsville, working for the Bradley Arant firm, U.S. District Judge for the Northern District. And then Supreme Court Justice Bill Lewis is coming off the Supreme Court of Alabama to be appointed to be a U.S. District Judge for the Middle District. All right, that's a big deal. Tuberville and Britt are the ones who submit the names to the president. The president then either accepts them or asks for additional names. He accepted all three and made a statement that he was proud to receive them and nominate them for these appointments. So, listen, as you've watched what's happened around the nation, Trump taking back the federal bench and putting in place people that will actually rule according to the law. More of that, please. Thank you very much. All right, we're taking a break right now. I'll come right back and I'll tell you, looking northward, what's going on with the run for governor in Tennessee? Marsha Blackburn, where's she polling at? I will tell you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, listen, a bunch of y'all are texting in. I'll catch up with those here in a little bit. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Let me do a little bit more of what I like to call cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh, yeah. You can smell them cooking in the pan. All right, so I'm cooking up home fries right now. Here's one for you for our Tennessee audience. Marsha Blackburn is indeed running for governor of the state of Tennessee. I hold a document here in my calloused former paratrooper hands from the Tennessee Lookout. U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn has been polled out as holding a significant lead, I would expect no less, holding a significant lead over U.S. Representative John Rose in the 2026 Republican primary. Blackburn is very popular in her home state. She's popular here in Alabama, for that matter. Blackburn has done a great job. She and Tuberville, in my opinion, are going to be missed. Their votes are going to be missed in the Senate. The question is who will get to replace them. But right now, both of them are coming home with the idea of being, instead of one of 100, being one of one as the governors of their states. This Beacon poll gives Blackburn a 68-14 advantage. Jeez, Pete. I mean, the old joke that I always say is you could poll Do You Love Your Mama and not get 68%, but Blackburn is polling at 68% to U.S. Representatives John Rose so far. Now, there's another old saying that a week is a lifetime of politics, and they got lots of weeks between now and the primary. So I think right now, though, the odds-on favorite is going to be Marsha Blackburn, just like Tommy Tuberville. Now, Tuberville has no competition for the most part. I don't know if, you know, the sitting Congressman John Rose is actually going to be stiff competition. But right now, he's only polling 14%. So there's that. Switch of subjects. Alabama Daily News has a piece here. I could have chosen this from a variety, but I was trying to spread it out. But Alabama Daily News has a piece. You may recall that Kent Davis was the director of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. Retired Navy Admiral Kent Davis was summarily dismissed by Governor Ivey's office. I say Governor Ivey's office because I've never seen Governor Ivey speak about it. I leave that there for you to consider. That being said, Governor Ivey took issue with him taking issue with things that he thought were not being done well, and he filed an ethics complaint against another department, Department of Mental Health, I believe it was Secretary Buckner, and wanted something done about the fact that he felt like dollars that had been attributed to the VA were not coming to the VA. Seems like he's defending his territory, doing what veterans need done, and yet Ivey terminated him. He has now filed a suit. He has filed a wrongful dismissal suit against the governor's office, and the governor's office just filed a motion to dismiss. Now, where does it stand? Okay, lawyer Phil talking for a minute. Motion to dismiss may or may not be granted. I will tell you that unless they have absolute grounds for dismissal that is so uncontrovertible that the judge can't ignore it, most judges are what I would call loath to dismiss a case because, generally speaking, the law favors people having their day in court. Now, if the evidence comes up later, you can go through the depositions and the discovery and do all the things and then have enough evidence in your hands to present to the judge, Your Honor, you can do what's called a motion for summary judgment right now. And you can summarily rule there's no genuine issue of material fact left, Judge. You can rule right now. And that can happen later. I don't know that we're going to see a dismissal of this case unless the basis upon which the case has been filed is just, you know, just not able to be sustained. But right now, what I do know is the governor's being sued by one of her former cabinet members, and that does not happen all the time. That's rather new and novel. Last thing I got for you. Now, listen, if you're not familiar, by the way, I'll tell you this. There is already an ICE detention facility in Alabama. You know why I know it? Because it's right here in my county. ICE has got a major detention facility here in Etowah County. They've had it for years. When I was in the state senate, the ICE detention facility was going gangbusters. I want to say at one point they had up to 700 prisoners there. It's literally part of our jail building. The jail building in Etowah County is state of the art, and it is something like 7 stories tall. And the upper floors are all ICE detention. Department of Homeland Security had a contract with us. Under the Biden administration, guess what? They let the contract go. Why would that be? Because they weren't detaining nobody. That's why. That being said, we are in a different world. Now we're in the age of the Speedway Slammer and the Alligator Alcatraz. Well, guess what, Tennessee? You're getting one. So CoreCivic, which this is going to tick the libs off. CoreCivic is one of those for-profit jail companies, which the libs believe is something akin to Nazism. The end of times, if you will. How dare you get paid for a prison? Well, it's called a public-private partnership. Thank you very much. It means we don't have to have state employees. We just pay them a fee and they house them. And they have to do it according to standards that we set. All right. I've never had a real problem with this, but the bottom line is CoreCivic is now going to run a new detention center near Mason, Tennessee. 600-bed facility. It's been sitting empty for 4 years. It's just sitting there. CoreCivic built it. Nobody wanted to use it. Now, all of a sudden, ICE shows up and says, hey, what do you got? We got a place. We got 600 beds. Do you? Guess what? 600 beds that have been sitting empty for 4 years are suddenly going to wind up being an economic boon to the little town of Mason, Tennessee. And, of course, the chanting protesters have now showed up at the small town hall. Mayor Eddie Noman stressed the economic opportunities for cash-strapped Mason and his own status as even being an immigrant from Egypt. How about that? He said, I agree. Maybe I agree or disagree. At the end of the day, I'm looking for the benefit of the town of Mason, he said. A few Mason residents voice their support, but this particular detention center is less than 20 minutes away from schools and things, and somehow that means it's going to be dangerous. Well, these are not hardened criminals. These are going to be detention center folks waiting on their ability to catch the flight home, if you know what I'm saying. So there you go. You have a roundup of what's happening in your backyard. That's a batch of home fries, my friends. Got a bunch of text messages. I will catch up with them momentarily. But don't forget, coming up after the next break, we're going to jump on in to the Grand Council. We do it every Wednesday at the beginning of third hour. Grand Council, Jeff Poore and our friend Scott Buttram, who just walked into the studio. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.